Johnny.
You're listening to 40 Ounces of Horror with your hosts, Chad.
Good evening, Perry.
And James.
Kill the brain and you kill the ghoul.
Holy Miss Moly, got me alive.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
The power of Christ compels you!
This is my boomstick!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 40 Ounces of Horror podcast. I am Chad, and the man sitting across from me is my cohort, James.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Like I said, this is 40 Ounces of Horror podcast. If this is your first time, thanks for checking us out.
Yeah, you got 23 episodes to catch up on, so you better hurry it up.
You don't have to listen to the first few.
Yeah, just listen to this one. Skip past 23.
Please go to our website at 40OuncesHorror.com. We have added a lot of...
A lot of new content in the past couple of weeks. We're really stepping up our game.
Some news and...
I don't know. We lit a fire under our asses and we're really doing stuff now.
Yeah. We got some fun stuff. We got an interview up there with USA Up All Night host...
Rhonda Shear.
Rhonda Shear.
She is hot.
Yeah. We had a little Q&A with her. Check that out. It's a pretty fun read.
That's awesome. I can't believe we got to talk to her. That's a dream come true for me.
Yeah, she...
That's fantastic.
We had some good questions. It was fun to listen to what she had to say.
We got two new guest bloggers. We got Bub and Boxcar Willie.
We got Bub's beer reviews. Some beers in his own...
Oh, blowing up. Time is money, Chad.
Yeah, I better turn that off. Bub's own skewed point of view on alcohol.
Yeah, the man's trying to do like 2,400 types of beer.
I think it's only like 500, but...
Oh, you got to up it up a little bit.
But you never know. He'll hit that 500 and shoot for the moon.
That's true. And then Boxcar Willie just did that cool piece on Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah, we'd like to welcome Boxcar Willie, a loyal listener, Twitter follower, turned bloggist.
See, this really is
that a word, bloggist?
It is now. But see, this really is a site for fans about fans. It's just everybody coming together.
Yeah, if you are new
to
this podcast,
stuff.
It's just us. We get we drink some booze, and we talk about horror movies and such. Please also go check out our Facebook page.
And our Twitter.
And our Twitter, at 40OuncesOfHorror.com.
What are you drinking, Chad? I see you got a glass and a bottle over there.
I didn't know what kind of alcohol you would have over here, so I brought along a bottle I've had in my fridge.
You always know what kind of alcohol
I
have
sure.
over here.
Sometimes it's nothing.
Because I drink it all.
But I had a bottle in my fridge for a long time and decided to grab it. It's Oliver Winery, local winery to us. Sangria.
Ooh, we got the sangria going on.
A little sangria.
I don't know what kind of accent that was. But
not one.
just drunken babble. You got the sangria.
You're kind of throwing me off my game here.
Oh.
Trying to do some intro stuff here because we actually have a little bit of a we're sponsoring
a few
horror conventions. This episode is brought to you by Scaracuse. Scaracuse is Northeast's premier horror and sci-fi fan convention and features the Syracuse International Horror, Sci-Fi, and Fantasy Film Festival, the biggest of its kind in the entire Northeast. In attendance will be some of horror's biggest names, including Monica Keena.
God, she's hot.
From Freddy vs. Jason.
God, she's hot.
Danielle Harris.
Yeah, God, she's small.
Kane Hodder.
God, he's awesome.
Derek Mears.
Man, he's awesome, too.
As well as paranormal investigators Jason Hawes, Steve Gonzalez, and Dave Tango from Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters, and many more. Scaracuse 2012 will be held September 13th through the 16th at Turning Stone Resort and Casino in Syracuse, New York.
Dude, and casino?
And casino. So if you were in the area, check that out. For a limited time, you can go to scaracuse.net to receive a discounted rate of 20% off the door price. And as always, you can go to our website, 40OuncesOfHorror.com, for more details. So we'd like to thank Scaracuse for promoting us.
It's a big step up. That's awesome.
If you go to scaracuse.net, there's a little 40 Ounce of Horror logo there.
Actually, we have the biggest logo on the page. I'm saying size matters or anything, but, you know, it's pretty predominant on there.
But, so we want to mention that. Scaracuse.
Scaracuse. Check it out. So what you been up to? What you been watching lately, huh?
Well, I've been laying off the books. I've been actually going back and watching some movies.
My man. There you go.
All rewatches, though.
Yeah. But rewatches is like, it's a big part of being a, you got to revisit movies.
A few weeks ago, sometime, at some point.
Sometime, I don't a few remember. Weeks ago.
AMC actually had kind of a Hitchcock marathon thing going on.
Really?
Yeah, it had a few.
See, I need to get back cable. But I need to get back cable, man.
I watched The Birds. In a bad way. The Birds is probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Awesome.
I believe that it is the first horror movie that I ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. My dad had it on VHS tape, taped it off like Showtime or something when I was a kid. I used to watch that. If you haven't seen The Birds, then
you know
why are you listening? I mean,
it's going to go watch it right now.
It was scary in terms.
It'll
of,
definitely change the ways you go into a pet shop. I'll tell you that.
It's scary in the terms of back in the day. When was that movie released? Like 60s.
Yeah, mean? Late 50s, I think.
Yeah, it was late 50s because it was black and white at one point, and they made it color. I think.
Yeah.
But I also watched one of my favorites, Stephen King's Cat's Eye.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anthology film has
Thank You for Smoking. Or,
yeah, that James Woods has Thank You for Smoking.
I should probably revisit that, and you know.
Oh, it's such a classic. Well, what I remember most about it is the final short in the anthology.
Is that the one with the little troll?
The little troll that lived in the girl's wall and was like trying to steal her breath.
What, didn't he eat the cat or something?
No, the
like
cat
that?
Kept trying to like get in.
Oh, the cat was like the hero kind
right.
of, and, like,
and, but
save
the mom
her.
Was kind of a total bitch and wouldn't let the cat in the house at night, and she totally like. To
see,
take
that's it. That's why I'm for cats. That's why the Egyptians worship cats, because they knew that, you know.
The mom tried to take the cat to the pet store, or the pet store. The, I don't know, somewhere to put it down or something. I just like the mom. The mom pissed me off in that movie. She's a bitch, man.
Yeah, I definitely need to rewatch this. But, dude, I love me some James Woods. I really do.
That was a good one. Then the middle one.
And who was who was a chick? It was a young, what's her face? That was a girl.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Drew Barrymore? Was that it?
Oh, that was the main chick in the final, the little girl in the final.
Yeah, yeah, Drew Barrymore.
But then the middle, second one, was there three or four seconds?
I think there was three.
But another one, I forget the guy's name, but he was from Airplane.
It wasn't Leslie Nielsen, was
no,
it?
No, the guy with the
parakeet
problem.
Oh, then I don't care about it.
Yeah, and he has to walk around the outside edge of a building because the dude is like...
Oh, I remember that, yes.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, but, see, I need to revisit that. That's a good movie.
I forgot how good it was. It's been a long time since I watched it. And then finally, I finally got around to watching Scream 4, which I hadn't seen yet.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think of that?
I don't know.
It was what it was.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit better than the second and third one.
Yeah.
But it was all right. I like what they tried to do with it, but the whole tropes of, like, stereotypical tropes of a horror movie, like, I think went a little overboard in that movie. So, I mean, it was... worth a decent watch if you're a fan of the series. Yeah. But Scream is one of those movies I think is very underrated.
Scream definitely brought back the whole slasher.
Exactly. It brought it back in the 90s. I don't think horror would be where it's at without Scream.
But you know what? I'll watch Wes Craven, but I think Scream 4 is a lot better than My Soul to Take. Or,
what's that?
Oh, well, that's good. It's good. It's a horrible movie.
Well, there's a few movies there for a while that it was just Wes Craven Presents. And that shit pisses me off because they try to market them as Wes Craven.
Wasn't it
movies,
My Soul to Take?
But
or...
I don't remember. But they put these people's names on these movies because they're under contract with the studio. And like, okay, you can make these movies if you put your name on these other movies. That happens with Quentin Tarantino a lot. Quentin Tarantino Presents. So just because it says presents doesn't mean they had anything to do with the movie. I believe another version of that for Wes Craven was They.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
a horrible movie.
Actually, if you want to watch a good version of They, you can either watch I'm thinking Them, the 60s alien flick, or you could watch They, the French movie, is awesome.
Yeah. They and Them in France had nothing to do with
They and Them and Us and We and Our.
Wes Craven's They. Yeah, it was a pretty bad movie. But, yeah. I just happened to find Scream on demand. I hadn't watched it yet, so I sat down and watched it. So, yeah.
Recently watched. I just revisited the Blu-ray of Day of the Dead. Then we talked about that a little bit earlier. That still holds up for me. I still really like it. I finished off the entire Alien box set Blu-ray, and let me tell you, I said the Dark Knight was the best Blu-ray that I've seen because it's really high end. Aliens. Is amazing,
really?
Yeah,
it
Aliens
wasn't even
Blu-ray
like a special
is just
release
like,
or anything, was it? It was just like a
no. But on there, it's got the special edition, which is 3 hours long. It's like 40 miles of tough road. I mean, it's a tough movie to sit through because they add all like the so much more dialogue before all this backstory about the Weiland Corporation. You actually get to visit Newt's parents, whereas when Newt was brought into the story,
now
like,
the Weiland, what do you call it?
The Weiland Corporation.
Corporation is the word I'm looking for.
There you go.
Was that referenced in Alien movies?
Yep.
So it wasn't just Prometheus.
Right. Exactly. So they gave more backstory, because I don't remember that in Aliens. But,
I don't remember that either.
But in the extended version that's on the Blu-ray, they made, you know, they add that to the story. So there's a little bit more reference to that. I thought it was really cool that they showed Newt's parents. So you see how Newt became an orphan and how she got landed.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's all part of the movie. It's just extra scenes.
Right. Well, you can choose like the theatrical or then the
director's cut
or
something.
Yeah, exactly.
I have the DVD box set of the first of the four movies, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's been such a long time since I actually watched it. I haven't transferred that to Blu-ray yet.
Yeah, but that Blu-ray is just fantastic transfer. Like, it looks amazing.
I picked up Paranormal Activity 3 on Blu-ray because it was on sale at Fry's. And then...
Dude, Fry's is so... It's either hit or miss, but some weeks, man, they have so much great shit there.
I actually picked up on Amazon. They had an Amazon deal the other day. It was like $30 for the Mel Brooks box set.
I saw you picked it up, and I was like, damn it, why didn't I see that?
It was like 9 Blu-ray movies for like $30.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, Mel Brooks has nothing to do with horror, but...
You know what? For the record, Blazing Saddles is, to me, my opinion, it's the greatest comedy of all time. I laugh just as hard every time I see that movie.
We could sit here and quote that movie for hours.
Where are all the white chicks at? White women.
White women.
I'm drunk. It's all the same thing. Bring on white women.
I'm trying to think.
I got so much money tied up in Scream Factory releases, though, on Amazon pre-order.
Oh, I know. I have a bunch of stuff pre-ordered.
Dude, seriously, it's like $180 that I've dropped so far in pre-orders.
I actually pre-ordered... at the time I pre-ordered the Total Recall, the new Blu-ray for the original movie, and it's out now, but it hasn't been sent to me yet for some reason. It got back-ordered, but that just makes me think more that I have no interest in seeing the remake whatsoever. Yeah.
We'll see last episode, and I was like, Chad, was it last episode? I was like, Chad, get your ass to Mars, and you're like, what are you saying to me? And I was like, oh, there you go.
I don't remember. All our episodes blurred together in one drunken night.
Yeah.
But, that's what I got. I did have some more
news.
Zombie, real-life zombie attack news, because there was a few more reports.
You're going to make me grab my shotgun and hold it here.
Well, I had a couple individual stories I was going to read off, but then I found this website that had listed all the reports up until recently. I think July 30th was the last report. Brings up the rash in Florida that several people had. There was like a whole classroom of kids that had some random like zombie rash is what they're calling it.
I didn't hear about that.
Mom, we talked about it on one of our podcasts.
Did we?
Yes.
I was drunk then, too. Mom, can you pick me up? I have a zombie rash.
On May 21st, in Illinois, a Bellwood man in LaGrange, Illinois, allegedly grabbed an 18-year-old woman by the neck, twisted her right arm, and bit her cheek while threatening to kill her if she called the police.
Yeah, see, that happens all the time in the news. I hear that every night. Like an older man assaulted a younger woman, grabbed her by the arm, turned around, and bit her. Film at 11.
Then there was another rash outbreak in Florida.
It's probably like shingles or something, or piles.
There's a bunch of them that has something to do with this rash. I don't really know why they connect that to bath salts or zombies, but...
It's like VD or something.
Zombie apocalypse in Jamaica, Florida. On May 25th, a disoriented passenger rushed the front of a plane going from Jamaica to Miami. After standing in his seat and ignoring the crew members' instructions to sit down, he was subdued by some of the 165 passengers on Flight 320.
I like how he said he was standing in the seat. So I could see everybody like sitting now with their seatbelts on, and he's just standing straight up.
I don't think he tried to bite anybody or anything like that. And then the Miami cannibal, which is the most infamous one, I believe. In San Diego, on May 29th, an altercation began at a family gathering in the Spring Valley area of San Diego, resulting in the suspect later arrested, biting off the nose of his cousin, who was raced to the hospital.
That sounds like something that happened in, like, Kentucky.
Let's see here. Baltimore, Maryland, May 2012, about a week or so after the Miami zombie incident, 21-year-old Baltimore student Alexander Kenyua, accused of killing his roommate, told police he did kill the victim. Cujo, apparently, is his name. Cujo Bonsefo.
Dude, these names keep getting more fantastic.
It's very long. Cujo Bonsefo Aguie Cody. That pop just hurt my ears. Anyway, he admitted to killing his roommate.
And, of course he did.
And ate his heart and part of his brain. He hid the hands and the head of the victim in his family's basement laundry room.
I don't know why all this stuff's so funny to me. Like, you eat somebody's heart. Shit, what am I going to do? Man, those fucking hands are sticking out. Fucking hide them somewhere.
Then there's the zombie apocalypse in China. We read about that where dog went mad. The bus driver that jumped off the bus and started attacking somebody.
Throwing ninja stars and whatnot. Karate kicks.
July 7th, 2012, officers responded to a scene a little before 4:30 a.m. to find two men restraining Jeremiah Aaron Hahi, age 22, naked in a puddle of urine and glass. A puddle of urine and glass.
Dude, I got nothing. I got nothing for that.
The homeowners woke to the sound of Hahi destroying their garden.
I thought Hahi was like the sound he was making, like he fell down on glass and like pissed. He goes, Hahi!
Anyway, the homeowners woke to the sound of Hahi destroying their garden and outdoor furniture. He crawled up onto the roof, then leapt off, landing on the hood of their truck.
How do you crawl up into the roof of like a house?
I don't know. I'm picturing like a fucking spider crawl. Landing on the hood of their truck, causing $1,500 worth of damage. The man then leapt onto the homeowner and bit him in the stomach. The homeowner will permanently be disfigured.
Why'd you hit my stomach?
The officer called for backup and put leg shackles and handcuffs on Hahi. They also used a spit hood and a stun gun to try and subdue him. Despite all this, Hahi then moved his... Despite all this, he moved his cuffed hands from the back of him to the front while still kicking at the police officers. They used
any man that could jump from, like, you know, the front yard to the roof and then off and then do $1,500 worth of damage onto a car he jumps off of and then go straight into biting a man on the stomach.
They used the stun gun on him five times.
Nine times.
Oh, let's see. What else we got? I think there's a couple more. Cops in Canada are also searching for a low-budget porn actor who allegedly killed a young man with an ice pick, dismembered the body, then proceeded to rape and eat the flesh from the corpse.
Canada sucks.
I think I saw that movie. He allegedly mailed some of the body parts to Ottawa and is accused of killing cats on video and posting the footage online.
Have you ever seen that documentary that was on Netflix? It's called Dear David.
No.
It is the most gut-wrenching thing you'll ever see, and it takes place in Canada.
Oh, really?
And it's actually why Canada's so fucked up.
Reports say he may be in France at the moment.
Oh, France sucks, too.
And that's the last one I had. So we have people going nuts all over the damn place.
Well, in other news, this is totally off the subject. I posted on Instagram a while ago that there was this rare variant Halloween 3 poster that I found.
Yeah.
When I was like, there's only six made, and I was like, it's my job. I have to find this. I actually tracked down a place that has one for sale.
Oh, yeah? How much?
Well, I'm not going to say it. Because I don't want any... No, I'm close to purchase. The thing is, like, through this website, how do I say this without giving too much away? Because I really want this, but I know people listen.
I see.
Through this website, you have to purchase $100 or more. $100 has to be the minimum purchase. So it's...
Well, I imagine such a rare poster would be at least $100.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Because
I emailed them, and I was like, are you sure this is it? I was like, do you have any other pictures besides what you have on there? And the guy took various pictures of it, like it was like an eBay auction. Like different angles and stuff like that. And I freaked out, told Karen, and she was like, well, you should probably get that.
But so I just can't justify. You're not giving it away so you can hoard it for yourself.
Exactly. All right. So when I do obtain this, I will post this on 40 ounces of whore, rubbing your guys' faces.
All right. So you ready for some news?
Let's
movie
do it.
News. Jake got to me with an intro.
Really?
Yes. So
did you listen to it already?
I'm about to play it for you.
Okay.
So here we go.
Sonata.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Terror, horror, death. Film at 11.
Well, there you go. I'm glad you got some intro music. There
I think it needs some work.
Well, you know.
But
we're always adding more episodes.
That's it. So, all right. So, let's see here. The Hollywood Reporter caught up with show creator Brian Fuller at Comic-Con to discuss Mockingbird Lane.
Oh, really?
Which is the remake of The Monsters, which we've discussed we weren't too fond of.
You could probably skip this news article
if
you want to.
The Monsters actually do what Monsters – this is what he said. This is a quote. The Monsters actually do what Monsters do. They eat people and they have to live with the ramifications of being monstrous. It's like grounding it in reality because the half hour was a sitcom. We saw the monsters. They were monsters on the outside and weren't monsters on the inside. For us, the monsters outside and inside – what? For us, they're monsters outside and inside, and we get to double our story. So any story you can tell on Parenthood and True Blood, we can tell. But the reason I'm getting to this is because of this. He goes on to say, we have universal monsters in the show, which for me are...
So it's going
to
be Frankenstein, Wolfman, Dracula...
Which for me are the fairy tales of my youth. Fuller continues, that's where I grew up. Loving the monsters, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, Dracula, the Metaluna monster from Silent Earth, and the Mole People. I would love to rope in all of these characters from those stories, as well as get the cat people and get those types of things, but we can't just do Monster of the Week. They have to have a reason for being in the story, an emotional capacity for us to interact with their characters.
I'm not watching any story that the center character revolves around the fat kid from Stand By Me.
Oh, yeah. Herman Munster is being played by Jerry O'Connell. And I saw a cast picture, and I don't think they're going for the same Munsters. So he actually didn't
I'm sure they do something different.
Yeah,
but...
he's not going to be looking like Herman Munster. I think they're just called the Munsters. I don't think it's going to have anything. I don't think it's going to be funny even.
Yeah, but see, why would they
I'm going to check it out, obviously.
Of course, but it's just, if it's so different, and he's saying it's so different, drastically different,
I find it interesting that they're going to bring in Universal Monsters, classic monsters. I find that pretty intriguing.
Yeah, but then he should just come up with a whole other title. It's like when we talked about the Dawn of the Dead remake. It would be fantastic.
Yeah, but if you wrote this story about this family of monsters living in suburbia.
Yeah, but I would much rather take
that. It's obviously going to be the Munsters.
But I would much rather take that criticism than actually say it's the Munsters.
That's true. I mean, I think you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
But, so we'll see when that comes out. I don't think there's been really a release.
Well,
yet.
Let me know how that is.
Trancas Films and HalloweenMovies.com are proud
Trancas?
To Trancas TRANCAS.
Sounds like an attack victim. One of those zombie stories you were just talking about. All those really weird names.
I see.
You'd be like, oh, Philip Trancas just got bit in the nose.
Trancas Films and HalloweenMovies.com are proud to announce the Halloween Fan Film Festival, taking place this October. Fan-made films have long been an important part of the diverse tapestry that is the Halloween universe, and this fall we are celebrating these works with a month-long film festival on our site, HalloweenMovies.com.
Plug.
In addition to a platform for filmmakers to have their work seen by hundreds of thousands of fans, I think they're overshooting there.
Just a bit.
It is also a
they should just put like eight.
It is also a competition to be decided by viewers to crown the best full-length and short-form fan films. It's a mouthful.
Chinese.
Films will be broken into two categories. Features, which are 60 minutes or longer, and shorts, which is an hour or under. The top two features and the top four shorts will all screen at the special event next year. Will earn prizes and become permanent fixtures at HalloweenMovies.com. Well, before I even read this, I didn't even know about HalloweenMovies.com.
I didn't know about it either.
There's no charge for filmmakers to submit their films. The call for entries opens August 1st and will close.
Dude, they're gonna have so many
on Sunday,
entries.
September
30th. It's gonna be ridiculous.
Details on submitting films to be posted soon. So if you are a short filmmaker, independent filmmaker, anything,
there's no reason why you should not submit this.
Check out HalloweenMovies.com. You heard it here.
And to jump into your news segment, I've never done this before, but I mean, my DVD news is just so overloaded that I have to throw just a little bit into your news.
Well, I mean, I don't have too much news left, so I mean, you're gonna have a full segment. You can go as long as you'd like.
Okay, thank you. The Scream Factory is going to release "They Live" on November 6th in Blu-ray. Actually, I just posted this up on Instagram that "They Live" by Scream Factory has one of the most kick-ass cover arts of all time.
It's true.
So you actually pre-ordered it.
Are you going to do your DVD stuff and you haven't even had your intro yet?
No, I just wanted to throw this into
So you just want to talk about They Live?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just want to throw it out there because it's such kick-ass artwork.
The artwork is fantastic. And I actually pre-ordered from Shout Factory on their website.
Yeah, because there's only 500 of them that you can get.
First 500 pre-orders, you get a poster of the cover. And
it's so awesome.
Amazing, amazing cover if you're a fan of the
movie. For the record, Rowdy Roddy Piper still looks that way.
He does
this
not.
This guy's got the feathered hair and the guns.
He does not.
Oh, man.
Rowdy Piper looks awesome. Like my dad now.
So. Actually, there's another tie-in with this. There's an There's a They Live vinyl coming out. The whole John Carpenter soundtrack. Yeah. But, God, I wish I wasn't drinking right now because I can remember his name. Gary Pullen, who used to be the art director for Rue Morgue, plugged it, but it's amazing artwork.
It is true.
So there you go.
I can't wait to get the poster. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
I don't have many posters left hanging after I was married.
This will be one
of
them.
This will be one of them. My favorite I have hanging is a picture I got at Horror Hound a few years ago. And it's Alien versus Predator, But
you know what? There's like, it's, I think it's like every six episodes.
I've never brought this up. I've never brought
this
up.
No, it's totally come up before.
It does not. But anyway, it's Alien versus Predator, and the alien is like.
But they're playing pool.
Yeah, the alien is off to the side sitting at a table with a beer, and the Predator's like shooting pool.
That's fantastic.
I think it's awesome. My wife thinks it's the tackiest thing in the world, but
which means it's fantastic.
I want to have it like blown up and put on like velvet.
You need to have it blown up and put on the side of a van,
exactly, alongside like a Viking and like dog sleds and shit.
It's awesome.
Anyway, back to the news. Sam Raimi confirmed to MTV that the character of Ash will not be in the Evil Dead remake. I think we pretty much all assume this. He also said the remake is gut wrenching, scary, and intense. And the film has officially wrapped. So we should be seeing that come next year sometime.
Yeah. Fall of 2013.
If Sam Raimi has faith in it, then I have faith in Sam Raimi.
No. I saw the trailer for the new Oz movie that he's doing.
You didn't like it? I didn't think it was that bad. Like I'm a big fan of Wizard of Oz. My family loves the Wizard of Oz, and it's just something we've watched since we were kids. And I think it actually looks pretty cool. I mean, it is very CG heavy.
Yeah.
But
it totally looks like Cool World. I think we brought this up last time.
It doesn't look like Cool World. Cool World is totally animated.
It totally looks animated, though.
Is a cartoon.
But CGI and anime, it's the same. It's two sides of the same coin.
No,
it's the same thing.
It's really not.
It is.
No. I mean, there's CG, and then there's some shitty CG. Because this past week, I've been home from work, and I've been staying with my daughter, who likes to watch the kids' shows during the day. And they still have, like, Pound Puppies and Care Bears and all these old – Strawberry Shortcake, all these old cartoons from when we were kids.
Yeah.
But they're CG now. And it's really bad, quickly done in a week CG.
That's so
horrible.
And there's
definitely a difference between that and actual good.
And going back to like Muppet Babies and Darkwing Duck.
If they ever do Muppet Babies in CG, I will riot. I don't think Jim Henson would ever. He'd be rolling over his grave. I think he
just flipped over because we were talking about it right now.
And next piece. American Horror Story has tied Mad Men to lead the nominees for the 2012 Emmys with 17 nominations.
About fucking time. Get Mad Men off there. Although, what is the appeal with Mad Men?
Although they kind of cheated going in the category of a miniseries or a movie, since every season is going to be different.
Yeah.
It's not considered a series. It's going to be a miniseries. So they kinda,
well, that's their loophole that they
found
out about.
Yeah, they found that loophole.
But so seriously, really what cool. is it about, 12, like...
17 nominations.
So. Everybody is... Mad Men. It's so
I've tried to watch it. And
I can't get into it.
I just haven't gotten into it. Also, the name for American Horror Story Season 2 is American Horror Story Season 2 Asylum. They're just calling Season 2 Asylum, and there is no ghosts in the second season.
Huh.
So it'll be interesting to see where they take it.
We'll just have to watch and find out.
And if you listen to the podcast regularly, you know how big of a fans we were of the first season.
Yeah, it was really good.
And the fact that they decided to make each season different.
That is so fantastic. And that is so genius.
Because
if you have a bad season, you start over from scratch.
Well, here's the thing. I think what intrigues people the most about that is it's such a fresh idea. And obviously we don't get fresh ideas in Hollywood anymore.
But if you sign on for a – like, if somebody signs on for a series and they're committed that entire time, be like, no, I'm just going to sign on for a season of American Horror Story.
Right, and, like, you don't have to continue with it. Like, I loved season one, so if season two turns out to be shitty.
Then whatever. I'll watch season three.
I'll just keep, you know, season one or whatever, you know, and it's its own thing. So that's
– I really love that about the show.
So I can't wait till that show comes back. It should be coming back this fall around the same time as that other show that we like.
Yeah, we can't talk about it.
The Walk.
But it's on AMC. No. It's on AMC.
Yes.
We can't talk about it.
We had a Twitter follower mention that we talk about that show quite a bit, which we do, but it's hard not to.
But you know, he said that he would send us our book. So if we get that book, then we won't talk about it. So he has until next episode.
He has a book to send. Okay. Kane Hodder has joined Before the Mask, The Return of Leslie Vernon.
Dude, I am all for Kane Hodder getting work. I love that man.
The original movie, Rise of the Mask, Leslie Vernon.
Yeah.
It was a pretty decent movie.
It was definitely a different spin on the whole slasher genre.
Interesting take on slasher, and they're making a sequel, and Kane Hodder has joined that. I thought
that does have some amazing artwork, though, for the poster. Have you seen it? The whole retro style.
You're all about the artwork tonight.
Oh, man, it's fantastic.
J.J. Abrams and Edgar Wright are teaming up on a sci-fi film titled Collider. Abrams will produce, and Wright will be writing and directing. No details other than that have been released. I love J.J. Abrams, and obviously I love Edgar Wright.
I'm really looking forward to Revolution, that show that's coming out.
Yeah, so am I. That looks really cool. But so far, J.J. Abrams has not done anything bad yet. His movies have been amazing.
That's true.
And Edgar Wright, if it's anything like any of his other movies, it's going to be fantastic and hilarious. Because
Edgar Wright's somebody I want to sit down and have a beer with.
Yeah, he's very much a fan of the genre, and he gets it. Yeah. And I know I brought up the question before, you think it's a good thing for fanboys to, you know, write and direct or produce movies? And I think sometimes when they get it, I think it's a good thing. So, like, Edgar Wright, his movies are fantastic.
He gets it. He understands
Eli Roth, I think he gets it. His movies are usually pretty good to par.
Yeah, Eli Roth, he brought the whole gore back.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I'm not as high on some of his stuff as, like, Hostel, I wish it was more.
No, but that's just, like, you know, I mean, you can't get an A-plus every time on a test.
Yeah, I agree. But, yeah, another discussion for another
time. I always get A-pluses. I'm a fucking scholar over here.
NBC has given a – WNBC.
WNBC.
Has given a 10-episode straight-to-series order to Dracula. So they're going to – we got lots of interesting series coming out. They did a – ordered a Hannibal series coming out, Dracula – I think there's another one I wanted to say, but I can't remember it now. But
I'm still waiting for the Universal Monster box set Blu-ray to come out.
That thing's so expensive.
Oh, it's so worth it.
I know. AMC Networks has announced today, probably 2 weeks ago when I actually put these in my notes, but AMC Networks has announced that they will not be ordering a third season of the mystery crime drama The Killing.
Ooh.
The first two seasons I thought were really good. I got into it.
I haven't even started the second season yet.
Holy hell. I mean, it's like watching a movie halfway through and stopping.
Well, I don't have cable.
Well, I know. I'm just saying.
I'm going to watch all my stuff online.
You got to learn how to find those things to watch.
Chad, every time I bring up old movies, you're like, you can't give that spoiler to that movie.
No, that came out
in the 80s.
I'm saying you need to watch. It's available if you know how to find it.
It is available.
You
know, I'm going to use this as a reference point from now on when you're like, spoiler alert, and be like, that came out 20 years ago.
Whatever, I'm not giving anything away about the show. The first two seasons are basically one long story. I don't know what they would have done.
So do you finally find the killer at the end of season two?
Yeah, it resolves itself very well in the second season. Leaves possible cliffhangers, but not necessarily needs to be.
Is it the guy that's running for mayor?
I was interested to see a third season, but I think it's okay to leave it. But they are – Fox Television, who produces the show – has announced that they will proceed to try to find another home for the show. So they're going to try to find somewhere else to put it. Maybe another network, maybe Netflix. I don't know.
See, I don't know. I don't know about that idea. I like if AMC's done really well in their programming. If they don't want to pick it up, then they don't want
to
pick it up.
I was pretty surprised to see they didn't pick it up because I thought it did pretty well.
They did really well. So. I mean, can't talk about it. It was behind that one show that we talk about all the time. And it did pretty well.
I don't know. I mean, I really liked it.
Even if it was a remake of a Swedish show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that they canceled it. I don't know what the
reason was. But was the ending for season two, was it pretty definitive?
Definitely. Yeah, it was a good ending. So, Warner Brothers is apparently exploring the possibility of a prequel to The Shining.
Can you skip this news?
Yes, because that was my last piece. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I don't know if that's going to be a movie or a series.
What we need to see is that documentary about The Shining. Was it Room 248?
I have vaguely heard about that, but I mean, has that been released? I haven't heard much
about it. It's making the film festivals right now. It's playing Fantasia, and it just played at before Fantasia. What's the one in Utah, the film festival?
I don't fucking know.
The one that Robert Redford runs.
There's
snow, whatever it is, a bunch of skiing going on. I can't think of it.
I have no idea. I can't keep track of
Sundance.
Conventions.
Sundance, is that it?
Maybe. Yes. No. Cannes?
Sundance.
Sundance, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
Yes. So it played at Sundance Film. Yes, it played at Sundance Film Festival, and then it went to Toronto to Fantasia Film, and then it's going to go to... Okay.
Well, either way. It's a
either way, people say as soon as they watch that movie, that you immediately have to go and watch the movie.
Yeah.
So now
I actually watched it recently.
So now after Sundance at Fantasia, they're showing the documentary, And then an hour later, they're showing The Shining.
That's awesome.
And then screenings have been sold out.
I've watched The Shining, and I've read the book, and I enjoy them both. I've never seen the later TV movie of The Shining that was actually more closely related to the book.
I actually enjoy that for it being a TV.
Really? I never did see that.
It's got the guy from Wings in it. What's his name?
Which one?
Not the guy who fixed the planes, but it was like the two brothers who owned the airport, right?
Lowell fixed the planes. Brian and...
He's kind of got like the curly hair.
Yeah, that's Brian.
Brian. So Brian's...
Stephen Weber is his name.
Yeah, Stephen Weber. There you go. You know what I'm talking about.
A little Wings trivia there.
There you go. All right. It's a good show.
Okay, so that's all my news. Are you ready for James's DVD
releases?
I'm
ready. Hold on. I gotta open up another one.
Open up your beer, and here's your intro.
All right, here we go. My DVD is my favorite segment. But so 40 Ounces of Horror DVD releases are courtesy this time of the South Texas Horror Con. 40 Ounces of Horror is excited to announce our partnership with the first ever South Texas Horror Convention. This larger-than-life con is still adding celebrities to the list. Current standouts on the bill are Ernie Hudson of Ghostbusters. You know, we never saw Ernie Hudson when we were here and when he was here.
No, I didn't see him.
That's
some
crazy.
Of those bigger stars just sit out there for about 5 minutes and then...
Exactly. But Ione Singleton of The Walking Dead...
Irony.
You know, whatever her name is.
That's T-Dog.
T-Dog?
Oh, shit, you said The Walking Dead.
Oh, fuck.
But we have to read what we have.
Exactly. But anyway, stay tuned as more will be added. South Texas Horror Con will be held Friday and Saturday, October 19th and 20th, 2012, at the McAllen Convention Center in Tropical McAllen, Texas. Tropical Texas? I think that's just the name, you know? For advanced ticket sales and other information, please go to www.southtexashorror.com. And as always, you can go to our website, 40ouncesofhorror.com, for more details.
So is the name of the city Tropical McAllen?
That's what it said.
Or is McAllen tropical?
No, Tropical McAllen.
I believe that the city of McAllen is very tropical.
It is.
Okay.
I think it's an island to itself. I think you take a ferry out there. They take ferries in Texas?
There are no ferries in Texas. They'd be shot on sight.
I've never... Confederacy. And cut. All right, getting into it. DVD announcements. The first bit of info is it's good, but you know it's bad at the same time. First off, the good. 20th Century Fox will be releasing some cool classics on Blu-ray September 11th. There'll be Jeepers Creepers, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and one of my all-time favorite trash flicks, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. No official details or specs have been released yet, although early reports is they will be bare-bones DVDs. I'm so tired of companies releasing bare-bones DVDs.
I thought that was those were over with. I didn't think anybody loved bare-bones anymore.
No, totally.
Usually they find something to put on there.
I don't know. I think it's just like they're trying to double-dip into it.
Like
you
special
know
features,
eventually.
Widescreen format, animated menus.
You can select. You can select going down.
Dolby Digital.
Dolby Digital. Shit. But it's horrible. It's just, it's absolutely horrible. On top of that, the artwork for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 and Jeepers Creepers is abysmal, to say the least. Hopefully companies will start taking a cue from Scream Factory and bring original artwork back to home releases. We need that 80s VHS original cover art.
I'm super impressed with this whole Scream Factory release stuff.
They have hit every release out of the park so far.
They're just
fantastic.
I believe they're fairly new, I don't know who they're a subsidiary of.
It's just from Shout Factory. They have Scream Factory, and they've just been kicking ass.
Yeah, their artwork has been amazing. Like on all their releases,
every artwork they released so far has been the best. Like when they released it for They Live, I was like, "That's the best cover art."
I don't think a lot of studios realize how much weight a good artwork carries for a release.
You see on the shelf, you'll buy that. But
right,
I love
exactly.
How now they sell posters with it.
Has it been for multiple? I only know about the
just for
They
Live.
Live. Yeah.
But I mean, it's got to start somewhere, and I think that's the best place to start. That's so awesome. So on the flip side of that, Rosemary's Baby will give in Rosemary's Baby will be given the Criterion treatment and will be released on DVD and Blu-ray October 30th. For those not in the know, Criterion releases are top tier. All their transfers are amazing, and the attention to detail regarding supplemental material is matched by no one.
I was going to ask you about that, the Criterion, because there's a lot of releases on the Criterion collection, but I don't really know a whole lot about it, because I have the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas Criterion release. Right. I mean, is that just like a certain company's releases, or do they select certain movies for Criterion?
Put it this way, if Criterion chooses to reissue a film, it's like winning a gold medal at the Olympics. It's one of the it's one of the highest accomplishments a movie can get. Between sound, extras, movie quality, and everything, they just put so much into it. But regardless, Criterion is like the highest standard that a DVD can receive. Yeah. Because even at Fry's, they have a Criterion section.
Do they? Yeah, because I mean, I have several DVDs that are Criterion collection, but I really never looked into the whole Criterion thing to see what it was actually about.
Yeah, they really put a whole lot into it. But some of the special features on the Criterion edition of Rosemary's Baby will be a new high-definition digital restoration approved by director Roman Polanski, a child rapist, right? Isn't that what he...
I believe so. Didn't he have something to do with what's-her-face, the star of that movie?
I don't know. I think he's friends with Sandusky. With uncompromised soundtrack on the Blu-ray edition.
That's a sports reference that may have gone over some of our listeners' heads.
New interviews with Polanski, Actemir Faro, and producer Robert Evans. I don't understand this. Kamita, a feature-length documentary on the life and work of jazz musician and composer. I'm going to butcher his name.
That's on the Rosemary
Christoph Kamita, yeah, who wrote the score for Rosemary's Baby. So the guy who wrote the score for Rosemary's Baby even gets...
I apologize. I know. I apologize for the noise you hear in the background, but
the 1997 radio interview with Ira Levin from the Leonard LePape's WNYC program, New York and Company, on the 1967 novel and sequel to the film. This is just like it keeps going on.
Your words sound like foreign language to me.
You need a what? A booklet featuring an essay by critic Ed Park and Levin's afterword of the 2003 New American Library edition of his novel, in which he discusses it and the film's origins. Like, Criterion just packs so much crazy crap.
Some bullshit, it sounds like.
But we will buy it. We will buy it, regardless. There are some movies that I get really, really excited about when they get a high-definition release, and this coming one is one of them. Stuart Gordon's cult classic Gore Opus 3 Animator will be released this September on Blu-ray. How awesome is that?
I love that movie.
It's fantastic. Like other children of the 80s, this movie had a classic VHS box that you just had to rent if you saw it, if it was still on the shelf. According to Image Entertainment, the Blu-ray release will be packed with bonus features, including audio commentaries. You going to say something?
I was going to say that I think a lot of us at a younger... when that movie came out on the video shelves, a lot of us watched it for the explicit nudity in that movie. A lot of boobs.
I remember him holding up Dr. Hill's head over there, and you see his body in the background.
A lot of sexual innuendo.
Innuendo, you know what I mean? From the film's director, producer, and cast, interviews and extended scenes, galleries, and more. I just can't be more stoked for this. I love it. I love it.
I'll get it.
In other news, VHS Video Horror Shorts will finally be making its appearance to Video On Demand August 31st.
I'm super excited.
You know what came out recently on Video On Demand? Mm-hmm. And I still haven't seen it yet?
What?
Rec 3.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Video On
How
Demand.
How did I miss that?
Right now, Video On Demand.
Well, hell, I'm going home and watch it.
There you go.
Podcast over.
Podcast is over. Last but not least, did I say that right? Least.
Yes, I believe that's how you say that.
Great news for all you old school horror junkies, especially those that you are a fan. Dude, we need to wrap this up. I'm getting drunk. This is bullshit.
I know, you're speaking really fast, too.
Fans of infamous Hammer Horror Studios, Synapse Films, it's a company that we love here, is proud to present the complete Hammer Horror series, Hammer Horror House of Horror. I think it's just Hammer House of Horror. I just read that wrong. Hammer House of Horror. And it's sending 5-disc collector's edition on September 11th. Note to collectors out there, September is going to be an expensive month for you. Between all the Scream Factory releases, dude, and everything.
Like I have said, pre-ordered so many things. And with Amazon, when you pre-order, the movie or the money doesn't come out until the movie is... My wife's going to have a rude awakening because our bank account is going to...
Why'd you spend $100,000
our bank, our savings is going to just empty.
Actually, I wish I could just take it out of savings. That'd be easier. But Synapse Films is proud to present the complete series of Hammer House of Horror to its original air date order. With all new introductions and supplemental features, this five disc collector's edition presents each episode with all nudity and violence intact.
Excellent. You always got to love nudity.
So they'll have episode introductions, grave relocations, a visit with Catherine Leigh Scott, Hammer housekeeping, a visit with Mia Nadasi, animated stills. It's going to be completely packed. Now, have you watched this at all? Any of that
what?
Series?
Hammer House. No, I have not seen it.
I didn't think you would, but I just wanted to throw that out there. But there was an episode that had Pierce Brosnan on there.
Really? So yeah. Is Hammer House of Horror just a kind of an anthology series?
Yeah. From the BBC.
Yeah.
So I had to look it up, and it's on the first, I think it was the first season. And what was it called? I read it on here. Last Victim. Pierce Brosnan, Last Victim, Hammer House of Horror. He's on there.
They need to release that on Netflix or something so I can watch some of that.
But that is it for my DVD releases. So there you go. It is done.
Thank you, James. Okay, on Twitter, we had somebody ask us about our top 10 movies of the 80s.
Now, for the record, I interact with people from Twitter all the time. So when I got this question, I immediately responded.
Yes, you blew your load early.
No, I come more than once, baby.
Well, I was like,
no homo.
I was like, when people ask us questions on Twitter, let's save it for the show.
I know, no. But I like to talk a little
bit.
Right,
but that's fine.
Okay.
So we're going to go through our personal top 10 of the 80s. Now, I tried to think of a way that we could compromise and come up with a 40 ounces horror top 10, but I think our personal top 10s are wildly different.
But what works so well, though.
Yeah. I don't,
you can just pick and choose from Chad and I's top 10. You can create your own.
I honestly don't know that we'd have any of the same.
Well, we'll find out.
I think what works for us so well is because we have very different tastes. I mean, we love some of the same stuff. But you like a lot of the older.
You're doing the
classics.
Scrooge McDuck hands right now. You're like, my money bin.
You like a lot more of the classic stuff, and I'm more into like the 80s cheese stuff.
Yeah, I got some trash titles.
Right, but I think, we'll just discuss this and we'll find out.
But another thing is that we want to talk about movies that not necessarily make people's top 10 and that are very underrated and stuff that we like and think that we should definitely be put
exactly
up there.
Yeah, exactly. These are our personal top 10s of our favorite top 10 movies of the 80s. I don't know that we can come together with one top 10 between the two of us, but we also want to hear your top 10. If you can't fit it on Twitter, do top 5 or something. We want to hear your top your favorite 80s movies. Okay, so I was trying to avoid just doing a countdown, but I think that's just how we're going to have to
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, before we even start doing our top 10, I want to bring up, I think 1981 was the best year for horror because of some of the movies that came out.
I have an idea. I think that when we have people on the show with us and then we have some of our guest co-hosts sometimes, I think when it is our birthday,
we will
go through and have top 10s of the year we were born.
You know, I was born in 1981.
You were born in 1981, so there you go. I was born in 1980. in case you were wondering.
Throwing a tally out there. You know. There you go.
So when that comes, we'll do that. So how do you want to do this? We'll do our two number 10s, discuss real quickly. We'll try to make this as fast as possible.
I don't have his like one through. Are we really burning through 10?
I actually rated these from 10 to 1.
Oh, well, I didn't even rate them. I just put down, like, miscellaneous, my top 10. I didn't have any type of order. Well, you know what? I'll have my number one because this is
– okay, well, we're going to start with 10. That's how you do a countdown. You ever watch Letterman?
No, I don't have cable.
Okay. Well, my number 10, and I think a lot of –
I need a pen to write this. Okay, with record, I have my top 10, but my 1 through 10 may change. Well, my 2 through 10 may change, but I have my number one definite.
Okay. We may agree on the number one. I'm not sure.
Okay. We're not going to agree on the number one.
Fine. My number 10, I think, would be different from a lot of people, and that's Halloween 3. I don't even think Halloween 3 would make a lot of people's countdowns.
Shit.
My 10th favorite movie from 1980s. 80s.
Dude, 80s.
Halloween 3.
I love me some
Halloween
3.
And I think I based a lot of these on my memories of horror as a child and
how they affected me and how I
made me a fan of the genre. So my number 10 is Halloween 3.
You know, I really like your
highly underrated movie.
I really like your top 10.
Well, thank you.
Dude, Halloween 3 is so awesome. Hey, you know, speaking of Halloween 3, there's going to be a semi Halloween reunion coming up here in November with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
For Horrorhound Weekend.
For some reason, we have two Horrorhound conventions coming in like 2 months.
Dude, Indiana, I don't know how it's become like the epicenter.
But speaking of which, Horror Hound, the first one coming up is in September, early September. Yes,
which we will be at.
We will be at. If you are in the area, please come to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
The Horror Hound Convention. We will be at the bar. We will drink, and we will have fun.
And I did say on Twitter that if you did post a review for us on iTunes, I will find your name. And if you know your name, tell me, and I will buy you a beer at the bar. So
beers on 40 Ounces of Horror. So all right, so what is your number 10?
This is so hard because I didn't – you know, I'm going to say Death Dream.
Death Dream.
Death Dream is
never
my –
never even heard of it.
Oh, my – it is an amazing movie. So what it is, it's a different take on the whole zombie scenario. The son goes out to war. He gets killed. Family, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm a little bit drunk. But either way, he comes back, and his family doesn't think anything different. And then it turns out he starts eating people. He has this whole desire.
Interesting.
But it's fantastic.
All right.
Okay, my intro is not doing it any justice.
Well, that's fine, but we gotta make this quick. We can't just talk about 20 movies here in depth. My right number up. 9, Night of the Demons.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Highly
too.
Underrated demon film. I think not the shitty remake.
No,
remake is fucking horrible.
For the record, though, Monica Keen was in the remake.
She was in the remake, but the movie is fucking awful. The original Night of the Demons is a good movie. It's one of those movies where I'd never heard of it. I found it, watched it. And was like, that movie was fantastic.
Remember Leanna Quigley's boob scene where she pushes in her nipple and like pulls apart her boob?
Vaguely. It's been a long time.
My number 9 is The Sentinel with Burgess Meredith.
Another movie that I have not seen.
You need to watch my top 10, man.
Dude,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you know a lot more obscure stuff than I had.
It's fantastic. It's got Burgess Meredith.
Sentinel's actually a pretty popular film. I just never got around to watching it.
Well, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it's got this whole religious aspect to it. You just need to watch it.
Right.
It's very underrated. And it's got fantastic makeup and special effects.
Number eight. For me, Evil Dead 2.
Oh.
No discussion there. Evil Dead 2, phenomenal movie. Everybody knows it. Love it.
My number 8 is Aliens.
Classic.
Everybody's seen Aliens.
Classic.
Discussion's
classic.
Over.
Number 7, Return of the Living Dead for me.
There you go. I love Return of the Living Dead. My number 7... would be Friday the 13th, Part 7. There you go. The introduction of Kane Hodder, the sleeping bag kill, the best costume, the best
weapon
choice.
That's probably one of my favorite Friday the 13th. Surprisingly enough, I didn't have any Friday the 13th movies in my top 10. Like I said, I was going more on my memories, my nostalgia, my movies that really brought me into the genre. My number 6, Gremlins.
Dude, honestly, I totally spaced it on Gremlins.
I don't know that many people consider it a horror movie. There are some scary parts. Not scary, but...
You know, I think...
But originally, Joe Dante, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Dante originally meant for that movie to be much more gory and horrific, and the studios didn't want him to do it, and they made it a little bit more comedic.
I think Jim Henson would applaud that movie.
Oh, it's fantastic. The whole bar scene.
Dude, where he's smoking the cigar.
And listening to jazz and like,
And the flasher, he turns around and starts laughing.
Love the bar scene.
So where are we at, 7?
One of these days we're going to have to do our top scenes for movies, and that's up there.
That's good. We didn't write that down. We'll totally forget it. What are we at, 7?
6.
6. The Entity.
Another movie I've never seen.
I think I got these DVDs.
You know, sometimes
upstairs.
I think that I have actually seen these movies and I just forget the titles.
The Entity is one of those like house haunting movies, but the spin is for me is this entity actually becomes like a physical being somewhat and actually rapes the woman. This sounds so bad, but it's so horrible. At the end of the movie, they trap it. They create this whole fake house and they trap it inside.
Huh. I'm feeling very inadequate here. Like I'm not a good host of a horror podcast when I haven't seen any of the movies.
No, but the thing is like you're mentioning movies that I haven't mentioned on mine.
Right, that's true. Where are we at? Number 5.
Yes,
number five. This movie had major influence on me. I think it had major influence on a lot of people.
2, 3, 4. Yes, I'm counting because I can't mark it off. I'm kind of drunk.
Number 5 is The Fly.
The Fly, yes.
The remake.
Now, see, that is a fantastic remake. David Cronenberg did an amazing
surprisingly,
job.
Surprisingly, there's several fantastic remakes on my list here. Cronenberg's Fly is fantastic. Now, I have seen the original Vincent Price version of The Fly.
Yeah.
Nothing like the remake.
No.
But some of the scenes and the visuals in Cronenberg's is just
dude, that goes
crazy.
Back to visual effects. Somebody created that and did that. That's awesome. What are we at? 6?
5.
5. An American Werewolf in London.
I have seen that. Fantastic movie. I'm surprised that's not on my top 10 because it's very influential in my life.
That's awesome. The whole puppet movie, the story.
That's one of those movies that feels like there's two parts to the movie. Like there's like the beginning.
No, there's a first act and there's a second act to the movie.
And sometimes, I love movies that are like that. Sometimes you feel like there's two separate stories in there.
Yeah.
Number four. Surprisingly, this movie is not like higher than this, but Nightmare on Elm Street 3: Dream Warriors.
Dockin'!
The soundtrack is fantastic.
That's my absolute favorite Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, exactly. This is my favorite, too. Nightmare on Elm Street is, like, Freddy is my guy. That's my favorite. Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is...
That is just a badass movie all around.
Yeah, that's fantastic of all of them. I think that's the best one.
You know, when she has the gloves at the end, she laces them up for the fight. That's awesome. My number four is Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. The gore, the dark comedy.
I think that's another movie that's highly underrated.
I love that.
And it's very much classic. I'm surprised that's also not on my list because I remember watching that on like Showtime when I was a kid. The scene where they're driving down the street, the two cars.
How did he get a chainsaw that big?
He's hanging out of the car with the chainsaw. Yeah. And Chop Top, where he's scratching chunks off his head and eating them.
Oh, you bit my plate. You bit my plate, Leatherface.
Fantastic movie.
Dog Will Hunt.
Number three for me, a movie we've brought up several times tonight, They Live.
Why is that not on my list?
A movie that many people may not consider horror, but it is definitely one of my favorite movies of the 80s. Fantastic. I will watch it anytime that it's
They
on.
Live, We Sleep, man.
Not to mention Roddy Piper. I'm a big wrestling fan. Roddy Piper was my favorite.
Well, I don't want to ruin anything. Well, I'll ruin it.
You're going to ruin They Live?
No, I'm not going to ruin They Live. I almost want to do that as a costume for this year.
Or you're just going to dress as Roddy Piper?
Never. I can't pull that off.
I already did that for Halloween.
Who won the aliens from They Live?
Remember when I wore the skirt to your house?
The squirt?
The squirt.
It was a horrible...
Wore the skirt to your house for Halloween. It was Roddy
Piper. Yes, I remember that. That was... Yes. It's good gun. All right, so number three for me. Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead. Another movie. We discussed this movie last time. I don't think it's as high on... I'm not as high on Day as I am on Night.
You know, it was one of the special features on Day of the Dead, the Blu-ray that I was watching. George Romero was talking about it. He was like, yeah, there's certain fans that celebrate Night of the Living Dead. Like, you know, they love it. It's a classic. And then people celebrate Dawn of the Dead. They're like, man, they celebrate how awesome it is and the comedy aspect and the action. And then he goes, and then there's these trolls. There's these nasty people that just love Day of the Dead. And I was like, well, you know.
And that brings me to another thing we can bring up after this. We had somebody ask on Twitter what movies to start horror fans – to bring horror fans in on. Like what movie would you show to initiate people? So we'll talk about that in a minute. But my number two – and this was a toss-up.
Yeah.
Number two – not really a toss-up, but I wanted to put it higher than number two, but not exactly number one. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like number one and a half, The Blob.
That's a fantastic –
The 80s remake of The Blob is a movie that I will never, ever forget.
That's awesome.
That movie scarred me as a child.
Now, if that's your number two, how upset are you going to be if Rob Zombie actually does The Blob remake?
I won't be upset till I see it.
So we need to revisit this when you get upset and see it.
Exactly.
My number two is The Changeling. It is one of the.
It's one of those movies
the best haunted house story.
I've wanted to see that movie. I have that. I forget the name of it. It's like one of those DVDs that has like great horror movies on.
It was like one of those packs.
Yeah, and they talk about that movie, but I never have gotten around to seeing that movie.
When you see the ball dropping down the stairs, if that does not get you in some way, then you have absolutely no soul. Bottom line.
And a lot of these horror movies, I think, have a lot to do with the atmosphere that you watch them in. I think sometimes you need to shut off the lights, turn up the volume.
Seriously.
Make your atmosphere very creepy.
I don't think a lot of people have good home surround sound systems. That really adds so much to the movie. Like we talked about Insidious. That definitely brought sound
back to movies. Right, and what
sound
movie did I
movies?
Say that I watched? Oh, that random movie on Netflix that I watched that had something to do with it was like a Ghost Hunters type show.
I can't remember what you're talking about.
But I think the atmosphere that I watched it in, I was in a hotel room by myself with the lights off.
Yeah, I definitely think that definitely made
the movie better. Yeah. So I think a lot of people that think these movies are crappy or cheesy or whatever, you really have to set the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So,
it's to your number one.
What was your number two?
My number two was The Changeling.
Oh, okay. My number one, and still my number one, period, of all time, The Thing.
Well, that's actually my number one,
I had a feeling we would agree on number one. The Thing, there's no better horror movie ever than The Thing.
That is 100% perfect movie.
Oh, it is.
From story to visual effects to the ending.
It's the greatest
Kurt Russell movie. With a fantastic beard. Dude, it's just it is amazing all around.
Like you said, the effects in that movie, and not only just the effects, but the scares and the monsters that they came that Carpenter came up with.
I love watching fantastic. That movie when I'm snowed in. When we have a bad winter,
the head
I put that on.
The head that hits the ground and the fucking legs spring out of the head.
That's all practical effects. Honestly, somebody created that.
When they're testing the blood with the hot wire.
That is,
and the thing jumps out and screams.
There is so much tension in that 8 minutes.
The scariest scene in film history, I believe.
As soon as he hits that hot coil to the blood, and you see him start shaking in the chair, and you see the tentacles come out.
Yeah. Well, they do such a good job of kind of deferring you. You're thinking, okay, it's not going to be this guy. It's going to be the next guy or whatever. You're just not expecting it, and boom, he hits that, and the thing screams. That is one of the scariest films.
But see, that's why I loved it so much more when people talk about like the prequel, and you know, there's that whole, we talked about this before, I think a little bit, but that's what the thing in the original, he was always one step ahead of everybody else.
Exactly. And I just wish, I wish there's more movies like that. That movie was so smart the way it was.
It was.
The story was
told. Did I talk about this before, like the ending when him and Childs are sitting out there and they're both taking this, you know, swig from the flask. And they don't know who's who.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I mean, well, the thing can't take alcohol.
And there's still questions whether or not they were the thing at the end of the movie. I mean, people still question that. That's just, like you said,
it's just so awesome.
The perfect movie.
That's awesome. Actually, that was the first Blu-ray that I ever bought was the thing.
Yeah. My first Blu-ray was Young Guns with Emilio Estevez.
Well, that's a good movie, too.
That's a great movie. A few of my honorable mentions I wanted to bring up. Couldn't find a place on top 10. Night of the Creeps.
Yes.
Classic. Creepshow. Trilogy of Terror.
Yes.
Zuni Doll. That's a great movie. The Gate is one of my favorites.
Actually, The Gate had a great VHS box.
Yeah.
It had the whole raised top. Looked very cool.
Near Dark, I think, is a highly underrated movie.
You know, we need to talk to Lance Hendrickson because he's going to be at the next tour.
Yeah, yeah. And Terror Vision, I think.
Terror Vision.
I don't think a lot of people would consider that a great movie, but it's one of my favorites.
Back when I was talking about 1981 being the best year of horror, I wrote down some movies that I think came out then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think. Actually, I knew I did research on this. But in 1981, here's some of the movies that came out. This is just some. It's not all of. In 1981, The Funhouse, The Burning, Halloween 2, Dead and Buried, Scanners, The Prowler, Friday the 13th Part 2, Evil Dead, Let Me Take a Breath, The Howling, My Bloody Valentine, The Nesting, Happy Birthday to Me, Escape from New York, Student Bodies, Burial Ground, and Fulci's nightmarish classic, The Beyond.
You know, I miss the 80s.
Dude,
why was that?
That
so
was
much,
a fantastic
why
year.
Why was it so fun back then? People can't
it was
make
just,
fun
it was just pure.
Anymore.
It was just...
Yeah,
it was just it was original. It was just people doing their thing.
Speaking of this, I don't know why I didn't bring this up in my recently watched, but movies, we were talking about movies that are underrated. And you may laugh. I don't know how you feel about this movie, but it was on TV the other day. And I watched it. Deep Blue Sea.
You know, what really shocked me was the part where he got eaten by the shark.
Sam
after he gave that big
speech. I thought, as cheesy as that was and kind of stupid, but I thought that was a legitimately good shark movie.
It was a really good movie.
I think there was good tension in it. I thought there was good scares. There was nothing like the scene where Samuel Jackson's given this huge heroic speech.
You totally don't think it's going to happen.
Boom! The shark lunges out of the way.
He gets eaten by
they
a
did a really good
shark.
Job of setting that movie up to kind of like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Diversion?
Yeah, to divert you from...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they set Samuel Jackson's character up from the beginning, you know, talking about this, how in the past he saved some, like, you know, he was
so
a
he was given his big Braveheart speech.
Yeah, they
and
were...
And then at the end,
they
Jaws
set him up
goes,
to be this huge
shut
hero.
The fuck up.
Yeah.
I eat you.
Deep Blue Sea, I think, is a highly, highly underrated movie.
That's a good movie. It's fantastic.
I think on another episode, we'll go more into underrated movies, I think. Because there's a lot of them. I think there's a lot of movies, not only underrated, but movies that hadn't gotten the publicity that they may have got, should have gotten. Because there's a lot of movies that we've seen that we just absolutely loved that a lot of people may not have even heard of.
You know what I think is fantastic is that on our top 10 lists, none of them matched except for our
number one. I think that says a lot, really.
That does say a lot.
But like I said, like I was saying, yeah, I think there's a lot of movies out there that people don't know about that we've seen and find fantastic. And the movie I always think of first is Inside. the French film Inside, I think, is one of the most phenomenal movies ever made.
I love.
And I don't think a lot of people have seen that movie.
I love the fact that after we watched that movie, everybody stood up quiet and walked out. Yeah, because and everybody quietly went to the bar. Like, we were, like, in kindergarten. Like, there was a line leader.
boy, girl. And that's part of what I call the French trilogy for me. I just think it's no official title. But
it was the same time. When
right.
Came
Inside.
Out.
Frontiers and High Tension. I think those three.
Those
films
are the top three. Those are the top three movies that everybody will base French cinema around, like horror wise. I think, in my opinion,
and like we were talking about a little bit ago, movies that we want to introduce. Like, if you're introducing a new person to horror films, what movie would you show them first to get them into
genre? This goes on our Twitter. What we talked about.
Yeah. Damn it! I keep just
you
like,
keep breaking stuff over there. You're just
throwing shit around.
Do what you want, Chad.
I'm drinking a whole bottle of Sakura.
Shakira.
I'm drinking a whole bottle of Shakira, shaking her ass at me.
Remember that episode where Chad was like, "I'm balls deep with a bottle of wine. I'm drunk." Well, Chad just finished off a bottle of wine, so you know he's where he needs to be right now.
Sangria considered but, wine?
It's in a wine bottle.
Anyway,
but anyway, you were talking about on Twitter. Somebody asked us what would be a good movie to introduce somebody to horror. Actually, I think I just jumped in the conversation. I don't even think I just.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was put to us. No, I think we just jumped in.
Yeah, but I said Dead Alive. Just because it's so gory and out
there.
That's
one that I think
I was
would
like,
mention.
I was like, Sink or Swim?
The thing is, that movie's not really scary. It's really cheesy, but the gore in it is just so over the top. Yeah. It's fantastic. I would honestly say one of them for me would be Night of the Living Dead 90.
Oh, my God. I love you so much for saying that. Seriously? Why do people give that movie shit?
I don't know. I really haven't heard a lot of people give it too much shit. I think there's some purists out there. But I think Night of the Living Dead 90 is one of the greatest remakes of all time.
It seriously is.
Up there with, I think, Dawn of the Dead 04 was one of the greatest remakes.
Or The Blob.
The Thing.
Or The Fly.
I think we're just repeating ourselves now.
We are. We're drunk.
All right. Speaking of being drunk, if this is your first podcast you listen to, we have a little thing called Boozin' Gone Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
get this. I'm glad it's not me this time.
We like to hear your stories of a night of drinking, boozing that have gone a bit awry.
Yeah, your ride wasn't there yet. You had to do a couple more shots with friends.
So we have actually a couple good Boozing Gone Bad stories that have been sent to us. So I'm going to read those to you now.
Let's do it.
All right, Boozing Gone Bad. At N. Seibel, loyal fan of ours. We appreciate his this is actually his second Boozing Gone Bad story. He called this a prequel,
We appreciate your willingness to open up on these bad stories.
He called this a prequel, so this may have happened the night he sent his last Boozing Gone Bad. I don't remember which episode that was in. But
well, maybe he's just an alcoholic and he's got problems and just keeps doing bad situations.
That's the pot calling the kettle black here.
Yeah, somebody needs to fill me up over here.
Here we go.
Okay, let's do it.
That's how it starts. While on vacation in South Texas, I convinced my cousin Jordan to head out to a strip club called Exposé, advertised as the best strip club in Texas.
Exposé is
the best strip club in Vegas, or Vegas, Texas.
We are sponsoring convention in Texas.
Southwest Texas
convention. Southwest, though. I guess it sounds like a bunch of wings or something like that.
South Texas Horror Convention.
South Texas Horror Convention.
The place looked promising. We get there and this place doesn't disappoint. Beautiful women, cheap drinks, and good music. We start drinking and started talking to this Mexican guy who was literally throwing stacks of money at the dancers.
He makes it sound like it's the outside of the Titty Twister from Dusk Till Dawn.
I'd go there, but I would leave before it got dark out. I befriended him and he started giving me money to throw at the dancers. That's a good man right there.
That is.
We were having a great time partying. I can't say the word. Partying. Until he drunkenly blurted out that he was with the Mexican mafia.
How does that slip up in conversation?
BT Dub.
Like, oh yeah. Let me buy you a drink. Mexican Mafia.
He mentioned he was with the Mexican Mafia, pointed at a table full of guys he was with, and asked if we wanted to go to his ranch and shoot some guns.
Only if you want to be burned in a barrel.
So far sounds like an epic night. I hesitated, then jokingly told him that my cousin Jordan happens to be an affiliate with the Zetas, who is a rival Mexican drug cartel.
Jesus Christ, I'm so glad I live in the Midwest,
man.
He was
just kidding around. The guy got really pissed and tried to fight my cousin. I knew shit just hit the fan. Somehow we were able to escape the club. We drove to our hotel a little scared, but we got away. We continued to drink on into the night, and around 3 a.m., my cousin decided to head to Jack in the Box for tacos. I passed out in the hotel room. 6 a.m. came around, and Jordan still wasn't back. I started to panic when he didn't answer any of my 40 phone calls. Bad scenarios started to loom in my mind. Images of my cousin at a stoplight running into the Mexican mafia. Guys kidnapped, tortured, raped, and possibly killed.
in that order.
All because I was joking around. Drunk and desperate, I called everyone in my phone asking for help, fearing that the worst had happened. Around 8 a.m., I decided to call my aunt and confess the story and tell her that her son may have been kidnapped by the Mexican mafia. All of a sudden, Jordan walks in the door with breakfast in hand like nothing had happened. He said he passed out in the Walmart parking lot and was woken up by a security guard.
Dude, Nick. I think, Nick, that is the best story we've heard.
That reminds me of the scene from Hangover where he starts to call his wife and he's like, we lost him.
We lost him. What do you mean? We lost Doug.
He calls the dude's mom, says he was kidnapped by the Mexican mafia. All right, so if that – he said this – so if this happened at the same time as the other story, then they had a one hell of a night and they need to make that movie.
Nick, no offense. I never want to drink with you, buddy. Seriously.
All right. Booze and Gone Bad story number two.
Number dose.
This is from at Shane Wink. His name is...
really? Shane Wink?
Shane Wink. Justin Shank is his name. This is a doozy. And the events were told to me by the people I interacted with that night. So here it goes. So he obviously doesn't even know. This has just been...
This is hearsay.
Yeah. The first ever horror zombie-themed citywide Halloween party was taking place two towns over from me. Naturally, I was stoked to go.
That sounds like a drunken dream. It's never happened.
They had bad horror vendors, live bands, and three city blocks shut down and decorated to look like post-zombie apocalypse survival area. This sounds phenomenal, by the way.
So this sounds like Land of the Dead.
Yeah. It was great and looked real. Now, being broke asses, my friend and I were not about to pay for drinks and tents and bars, so we had a stash in our trunk.
That sounds like me and you, Shane.
Yeah, exactly. Three bottles of mead, handle of Jack, and 30 cube of Milwaukee's
Dude,
best.
Dude, for the record, mead is some hard-ass stuff.
Is it? I don't think I've actually drank it. And a 30 cube of Milwaukee's best. We got
How
drunk.
Would you have mead with Milwaukee's best? Mead, all you need is mead.
They had mead, Jack, and Milwaukee's best. We got drunk. More specifically, I got fucking annihilated. I mean, top three lifetime plastered drunk. We made our way to the crowd bandstand area, and this is where my brain shuts off and witness accounts begin. I was
witness accounts. I guess sound like a news.
I almost spilled my sangria. I was warm and decided I hated clothes, so I ripped my shirt off. Not bad, but then I had to pee.
Like Hulk Hogan style?
Yeah. Instead of finding a restroom, I decided to just discreetly pee on a guardrail in a 2,000-plus crowd of people. Whatever the group of girls behind me said is still in question, but my response was, oh, yeah? And I turned to turn my and he turned a stream upon their legs and continuously okay all right his response was oh yeah and to turn a stream upon their legs and continuously arc it as they backed away screaming.
And then my words have been like, oh yeah.
Then the cops came over. He needs to go to he needs to go before those girls press charges. So I took off run. Or stumbling violently towards the exit. I found a friend who was running a booth. He saw me, then he saw a wall of police following me. They told him to escort me out. After getting lost, bolting in front of moving cars, asking for a cigarette, we found my original group. Also surrounded by cops. Turns out my friends thought shrubs from a park belonged in a parking garage. The law disagrees. After a brief tussle with a tough guy cop, they for some reason let us go without any tickets, arrests, or sobriety tests. There's more that happened after we left, which I can regale you with at another time if you want. I assure you that this all completely happened. It's crazy, but it happened. I'm still wary of entering the town limits on account of 10 different cops knowing exactly what I did.
Dude, I don't think we could hang with any of our listeners anymore.
I know. It's...
I don't think we do this.
I don't know that I could pee in a crowd, let alone turn around and start peeing on the girls behind me.
I could pee in a crowd, but just be me going, Chad, what are you doing? What are you doing?
So.
That's ridiculous.
Bad. So, people. Keep sending us your Booze and Gone Bad
stories. I feel so much better about my life.
We want to hear them. We have our own Booze and Gone Bad stories. I like to save them up.
Yeah. We'll talk to you in person when we see you about them. But Man alive.
We want to hear your booze and gumbad stories. It doesn't have to be.
It could be
crazy.
Anything.
Anything, just a night of crazy shit happening. So how we usually end these podcasts is our Netflix recommendations. I personally don't have any this time.
Well, since I went the whole 80s theme for this episode, I did Slumber Party Massacre. That's on Netflix right now.
And you just got them telling me how bad of a movie that was.
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. It's really funny, though. Like, if you watch that with a couple people drinking beers, like, you guys will have a good laugh. So, I mean, in that way, it's pretty cool. So you definitely check it out. But that is definitely my Netflix pick.
So that's your Netflix pick. I didn't have any. They did recently release a lot of things on Netflix this week. There's a few Corman pictures. Big Dollhouse is on Netflix.
Yes, that's awesome. Actually, we talked about the whole sexploitation thing and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
I've been trying to revisit it. It's
gotta be. It's a good time for.
It's good for what it is.
A bunch of guys hanging around one night watching.
That's exactly the best way to put it. It does have a young Sid Hagen in it, though.
Yes, it does. Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead is on Netflix.
Where's Jake?
I've never watched it, so we'll have to have Jake do an Unmentionable. So
Jake, where are you? You're never doing an Unmentionable.
Yeah, are you, Jake?
Where are you, Jake Boshin?
So, this episode ran a little bit longer than usual, but thanks for tuning in. Like I said, if this is your first time listening, thanks for checking us out. Please
come
back. Please go to the website, 40OuncesOfHorror.com.
Check out our new bloggers, Boxcar Willie and Bub. Bub does the beer.
We've been putting a lot more stuff. Check out our interview with Rhonda Shear. That's a good read.
And our sponsor is Scarathon.
Scarecuse Commission in New York. Also, the South Texas Horror Convention.
Yes.
Both of those, you can get information from our website. Please go to 40OuncesOfHorror.com. If you want to email us with your booze and gum bad stories, you can email us at contact@40OuncesOfHorror, or you could reach us individually at chad@40OuncesOfHorror or
James@40OuncesOfHorror.
And as always, we're always talking. Damn it.
That's a good episode.
It's a hiccup. We're always talking on Twitter at 40 Ounces of Horror, so please check those out. So, thank you for being with us.
We appreciate it, guys.
And as usual, until next time,
drink up. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest blue is my hat is like a shark's fin. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Killers want a beast, swallowing the flames. They switch my DNA, flip me to cool day. I can't fight the feeling, I'm forced to kill prey.